This week on your Old School RuneScape update, the discussions on magic continue with Project Rebalance nerfing and buffing mid-level magic gear. We look at the mid to high level gear situation and where everything will likely land. We also discuss build diversity, prayer changes, and mid-hit clarity. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 24, recorded Saturday, April 20th, 2024. Progress over perfection. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are here, as we are each and every week. Any fun new stuff to report this week, or has it been a nice coasty week?
Nice coasty.
Okay, so nothing too spicy?
No.
Okay.
This week's blogs were totally uncontroversial, obviously. No discussion whatsoever to be had.
No, so we're going to start talking right now about third-party clients, media combat.
And then we're done for the week. Nice and short show. Yeah, we like our vacations.
No, of course. But instead, we got another installment in the ongoing saga of Project Rebalance and what's happening on the magic side with that, as well as some changes to how min hits are going to work and how they thought they were going to work initially. So that's going to be a fun discussion. And, of course, also updates later on in the podcast about what we've been doing, in addition to, of course, those medium combat achievements and third-party client guideline upgrades or updates, rather. Full show notes can be found for the podcast over at update.show if you want to follow along. We do have a community Discord at update.show/Discord and a friends chat as well, in-game, at BitsBytes. And if you want to talk to me there, I am at Shane12088. Now, Mr. Sirion. Mister or doctor? I don't know.
I never got my doctorate. I considered it, but I never got it.
If, the more you know, folks, the more you know. Where are we at with magic this week? Have things calmed down? Have they got worse?
I saw we got a few comments on the magic rebalance, which I really appreciated. Was some good discussion to be had. For that person who observed, you're probably Iron Man or mid-level players.
Spot on.
Yeah, spot on. I play both. We're largely mid-level players.
Decidedly mid-level.
Decidedly mid-level, yes. I think the argument about the powered staffs and bringing like the rest of magic sort of up to level.
Yeah.
There's something to be said. I still think it's overtuned, but
I don't.
You know, I had to do an Iron Dragon's task this week and even using a like powered save, I was like, that takes for bloody ever. Just
right.
Let me.
Yeah, and see that's
so,
the thing.
So maybe
is that
maybe
like I like big numbers. I like to see things die quickly, but I am cognizant at the end of the day about what is healthy and what isn't for the game. And I feel like when you factor everything all together, and this is going to be the through line of this segment, when you factor everything all together, at least in my perspective, with where we're at the end of these posts today, I feel like we're in a good slot. But I feel like we're on probably the third or fourth iteration of the magic redistributions in terms of, you know, the nerfs and the buffs that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's changed twice this week. It was once before that was different. And what's your take on this? Because you've actually been running some of the numbers on this.
Running
this
numbers,
week.
Yeah. First of all, I have to say, if you had told me like a year ago, like, oh yeah, you'd be the guy running numbers on combat stuff, I'd be like, no, that never happens. I don't care, but I ran numbers. I made a spreadsheet. It's linked from the show notes if you want to take a look yourself. It's looking back at it, I probably made some mistakes, but that is A-okay. You know, we're all allowed to make mistakes. I think the overall numbers, you know, sort of are pretty indicative. The reason I made the numbers, made the spreadsheet, is I wanted to compare sort of the original proposal that Jagex had, which unfortunately seems to have disappeared. When they updated the blog, it looks like they updated their original proposal as well. So I don't, I haven't really got the right.
And I'll start doing this week. For the other shows, I do archive all the pages when we first see them, and I think that's probably a good thing to do going forward, just so we have the comparison in terms of how they update and sometimes replace the contents of posts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Web Archive might have the old version, but I didn't dig that deep. But yeah, like one of the big things that immediately stood out to me is that if you actually looked at the numbers, you would see that because the occult necklace is the main thing that gets nerfed here, right? Like, I think we should be say that that is, I think, the main content that we want to talk about today. Because getting 10% like boost was deemed too much, and you know,
from one item, from one item,
that is actually remarkably cheap, right?
Yeah,
like it only costs like it's less than a mil.
Yeah,
you and I. Well, right I have now, one. You
right now the most recently traded price is 681K.
Yeah, there you go. So like. Ridiculous in a sense. So fair enough. So they redistributed these, but they largely looked at basically what is like the thing people actually wear at max mage, and let's make sure the percentages match up, right? And I think they ended up being slightly better. But then you look at sort of the mid game stuff, and that all got nerfed. And sure, we get augury as sort of a way to get some of that back. But running augury, besides just getting it passively from your gear, is a very different
story, and also
I feel.
And also I feel like given the way prayer works as a skill and when augury unlocks, I feel like augury itself is at the very high end of mid level.
Yeah, exactly. I would not consider, yeah.
Because it's 77, right?
It's 77. I mean, I got the score, but I don't have the level. And no. I know that to get the level, I need to spend like another 12 mil on the skill.
Right.
So, yeah, like that was a problem. And I think people were rightfully complaining about the fact that RMs would, basically it would start matching things like Infinity. And lower level stuff, right? Like, and I think the current problem still, or the current proposal, still has a little bit of that problem, right? Where there, I mean, I think in the original proposal, Affinity might even have been plus two, right? Which is weird because it's level 60 magic gear, whereas RMs is level 70, and the whole argument behind it is like, oh, it's like battle mage armor. Which, fair enough, but most people pray, right? Our whole game is sort of centered around praying. So, the original thing I felt missed a lot of factors and skimmed over the details. We saw a really good proposal on, or I at least saw a really good proposal on Reddit by, oh my goodness, I should have looked up the name.
Yeah, we'll fetch that and throw it in the show notes. But effectively, the way it boiled down, and for folks who are wanting to kind of, I guess, visualize
this. Biomaster Zap. There you go. Biomaster Zap.
The thing I see with this is that what was initially put out by Jagex is, in effect, like a step curve almost in terms of rebalancing the mid-level magic side. And what the Reddit proposal does is it effectively just smooths that out and makes it so that mid-level isn't hit as disproportionately.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, like basically what they did is they, you could imagine it being like a chord, right? Like the upper end max mage is like the highest point and the start is like at level zero is like the lowest point. It's like a straight line in the middle. And basically what they did is they took that string and they pulled it down, right? So that it stays the same at the end, but during the mid game, it actually everything gets nerfed.
Yeah.
Whereas I think what they should have done is they should have pulled the string the other way, right? Like keep the end the same, or maybe even make it a little bit lower. and then buff the mid game a little bit. And the reason for that is once you start doing the math, because we were talking like 11%, 8%, what's the difference? Well, because of the way the rounding of the damage works, like 1% lower actually has a much larger impact on your DPS at lower levels, right?
Right.
Because the higher level you come, the less the rounding comes into effect, the less you're adjusted by the rounding down.
Right. So
the mid game is disproportionately affected by any percentage-wise nerfs.
Right. And just to give a context on the way this is set up right now, is that if you were to look at what you did in terms of, say, a max mage setup, what we have in game right now equates to roughly 19%. The Jagex rebalance.
Yeah, like I said, like, this is
This is your quick math. So if there's problems,
this is my quick math. My best knowledge. Like, I am not a high level PVMer. I don't know all the items. This is based on the details I have. They don't quite match up with the numbers that other people got, but ballpark, right?
Right.
Ballpark.
And see, the interesting thing is when you compare that mid game arms one, is that right now you come out to the live number being about 11%, Jagex says is about 10.5. So
the original one was like 8.
Yeah, and see, I feel like the way that is with everything that's been talked about and the final iteration we're at as of recording here on April 20th is that it's okay, and it's especially okay when you factor in if you're using magic against critters that are going to have elemental weakness. I feel like you're probably going to come out ahead with that.
Yeah, but I think elemental weakness, like, it's not meant to solve the same problems as this is solving, right? Like, this is meant to solve the occult necklace, primarily. Whereas the elemental weakness is meant to solve the discrepancy between powered staffs and spell alter casting, right?
Right.
Because realistically, the moment you get Ivan staff, you should really just be using Ivan blast everywhere, because that's the best DPS until you get like level 81, at which point the warped scepter or even like a trident of the seas is going to become better. That's really the meta for magic. There's no elemental spells involved there. And basically what the elemental weakness does is it basically gives you the option that for a large number of monsters, you know, these spells overtake the power of these powered staffs. So I think you might come ahead somewhat, but there will still be cases in which there's no elemental weakness. You're currently already using a powered staff, right? Because at my level, I would be using Ivan Blast.
Yeah.
And I did check, right? Like,
And then your theory based on that is, in that case, given the fact that the way Jagex has proposed it, you're still a bit less, and when you factor in rounding, you're still going to see a smidgen of DPS loss.
Right now, the percentage comes out roughly equal to what it is in game, so, you know, I think the new proposal is okay, right?
Right.
It's okay. But what I really find, and that sort of leads to the second problem I have with this rebalance, is that I think they sort of failed to consider alternate upgrade paths, right? So if you look at like the latest proposal by MyoMaster's app, right? Like, he proposes some additions, like give Infinity Boots like 0.5% of boost, give Infinity Gloves 0.5% of boost, right? Make the Seer's Ring a little bit, like, tiny bit better. Because all of these things allow you, as a mid-level player, to actually incrementally chase these milestones, which is, I think, particularly relevant for Iron Man players, right? Which are way less likely to just upgrade their gear into Virtus Ropes. Like,
right, whereas the rest of us, we can just go make some money and then just go, you know, press the button on the GE and there it is.
And like, speaking of the whole rebalancing, like, part of the whole rebalance is that we want to create more horizontal reward space.
Right.
But
more diversity in builds, you could say.
Exactly. More diversity in builds, more diversity in items. But all that we're looking at here is a very linear track of progression.
Right. And
which I think is unfortunate.
Right. And if you put it in that frame, how is this any different than what RS3 does with EOC and its gear?
Yeah, in a sense. Right? Like in the original proposal, like Infinity Game ahead of RMs, which was even more broken.
That's weird.
Yeah. Right. Now at least they put that on the same level, but like why is RMs is equally good as Infinity right now. Right? In terms of like, and like if you look at the stats, like the offense stats of RMs, it's actually not that much better, if it is even better, than Infinity right now in the live game. So people rightly ask, what's RMs good for in the future?
Right. Because it's certainly not the set effect.
No.
That's never been useful.
No, it's not a set effect. By the way, who uses RM stuff to begin with, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you can sort of see how the whole thing, it doesn't really hold together to me. So that's why I say, like, I don't think the current Magic damage redistribution is bad. I think the latest proposal is miles better than the initial proposal.
Yeah, and my sense is that the heat in the community and the general backlash to the redistributions has improved since the first proposals on this came out.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I like I said,
I don't know if it's improved enough yet that they can, you know, just floor the gas and go with it. I don't know if we're at that point yet.
Yeah.
And we also have to, and what
but like
I, what,
look they say clearly so that their feedback on the Magic damage redistributions was that Magic setups outside of the high end endgame gear were hit disproportionately hard, right?
True.
And that I think is largely solved.
Yeah.
I just think that it's unfortunate that we're seeing these changes applied to such a linear upgrade path. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate that we need to talk about this discussion in the sense of de-meta progression, because that, to me, underlines the entire underlying philosophy of Project Rebalance.
Yeah, and see, you're right on that. And one thing I was wondering this week, and I didn't, you know, have time to do it, and I was going to ask you to run the numbers on this, and I never got around to it. But if you compare this kind of upgrade path with, you know, this hump at the mid-level in terms of smoothing that out, how do the other two skills compare to that ranged in Melee? Would be an interesting thing. Like, I know you don't have the numbers on that, but I think that would be an interesting thing to kind of compare and contrast here with.
I mean, Magic works very differently, so I'm not sure if you can quite compare. And of course, it is not entirely fair to exclusively look at the Magic damage boost, right? You also need to look at the actual offense stats
right.
on the armor, and I haven't gone that deep.
And to be fair, I think it's been made clear by Kieran, Mod Kieran, and the sense I've got from people in the community is that they don't want the three skills in game to be cookie cutter. The three combat styles, rather. As in, they shouldn't all function similarly. They shouldn't all function with similar upgrade paths. They should have unique identities and whatnot. So.
Ranged is interesting in that respect, because it is, of course, still very similar to Melee. But we'll see by the fact that, like, you can't just change a bow to start shooting bolts. So, you know, you might have less flexibility in terms of changing your attack style mid encounter.
And see, that's the question I have at the end of all this. Is, are players content with having almost, you know, a singular upgrade path within Magic on this? And I feel like that's how it's worked before. And like you said, that's counter to what Project Rebalance was supposed to do. So maybe the goal, the net goal, or the net benefit at the end of the day on this is Jagex gets to adjust some items that are deemed too powerful, and players get to have a consistent upgrade and progression path throughout their Magic gear. Maybe that's the end goal of this, and maybe that's the happy medium we end at.
Yeah, perhaps.
Would you, if this came to poll today, would you vote yes on it, as it is with Jagex's updated proposal?
Oh, that's a hard question.
And to be fair, I don't think these will be pulled because they're Project Rebalance things, but go ahead.
No, I think they're, I think they're probably going to be considered game integrity updates, which won't get pulled.
But for sake of argument, let's just say we did get a vote in it.
Well, if it does get pulled today, I don't know. Like, it's still better than what's in the game right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's hard to argue that, you know, this makes the current game worse. Like, I don't think I could in good conscience make that argument. I think it could be better, though. But, you know, this is something I use at work a lot. Progress over perfection, right?
Right. Like, that's the thing. How long can they afford to spend going back and forth, making little minute changes, when there might be something that's okay, good enough, let's go, we're making progress in the right direction.
Yeah, maybe. I just, you know, yeah, it's a hard balance. That's a show title. But I don't know. It's hard to see, like, sort of the opportunities they keep lying to the wayside, right? Like, it feels so easy to just shuffle a few numbers around without, like, even if it's tiny numbers, right? Like I said, Infinity Gloves and Infinity Boots both getting 0.5%. Like, nobody is going to lie awake of it, but it does.
It adds up at the end of the day.
It adds up at the end of the day, and it makes it feel a little bit better that you can do these upgrades in tinier steps. So that's really all I think I'm asking for. But, you know, there's no reason why this couldn't be added as a second pass.
So yeah, that's fair.
I would probably still vote. It's just unlikely we're going to see a second pass.
Yeah, because, you know, once it's in and, you know, they feel like they got enough people on side that it's not going to cause a problem, we head off in that direction. So fair enough on that. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we're in a far better situation than where we were at. And I personally, as a mid-level player, feel okay with that proposal. And if the numbers, you know, are to be believed at the end of it, which I have no reason to doubt your numbers, but I'm just saying that for the case of the listeners, at the end of the day, based on what Jagex has put forward, the Max Mage audience, in most cases, is likely to see a benefit at the end of that. So, all's well that ends well, they say, right?
Yeah.
So,
Other than that, you know, I like the changes to the prayers. I think that's good. I think it makes sense that they sort of step up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those early prayers are just absolutely useless if you've got, you know, less than 5 prayer points. It's like you click it and you're done, right?
Yeah, so, like, I like both the fact that they're changing the early game combat prayers in general, but I also like that for Magic, they sort of, instead of Augury just being the 4%, even the one before that,
Mystic Might.
Like getting 2%, I think, you know, that's nice. That makes it feel a little bit more like a meaningful prayer.
Yeah, so. and see, there needs to be reasons to use these prayers and, you know, feel like they're worth the cost. And if they, you know, drain too quickly in the early cases, or maybe they don't provide enough of a benefit at the mid-tier, that's something that can be addressed by just scaling numbers. And I think overall they landed in a good place on that. And in everything that I read this week, I didn't really see anybody saying, oh my God, don't make these prayer changes, right?
No, exactly. They were not the most controversial part. I've been laughing really hard at the Elder Mall just skyrocketing in price. The cynic side in me just wants that to see that reverted, just to see the absolute chaos that would cause in the economy. But
that's all because of its special attack, right?
Mm-hmm?
That's all because of the changes to the special attack, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And I'm looking at all of these items, and I'm, like we said at the start, we're mid-level players. I wish I could say meaningful things about these, but I can't.
Right.
I don't.
And, you know, I took a cruise through them, and I looked, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. Okay, that item's, you know, several hundred mil. It's obviously used in high-end PVM and connecting the dots as mid-level players. It's like, well, if folks aren't complaining too loudly about it, it obviously isn't too much of a bad thing compared to what everybody else is talking about this week and where things have landed on that. And, you know, one thing that I did see that had a bit of discussion around it as well was the initial proposal for the max hit changes, or rather the min hit changes.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week on the show, right?
Yeah.
How it adds unnecessary complexity.
Yeah, and they came up with a really good idea to adjust this.
Love it.
And and you know, when I first read this proposal way back when, that they were going to remove the zeros, this is what I thought they were going to do. And effectively what they're going to be doing is that any damage that is zero will just become one.
Like, it's funny, you were like, oh yeah, that's what I thought they were doing. And I was like, that's genius. Why didn't I come up with this? So we both had very different ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
No.
If hit equals zero, set hit one.
Yeah, no, it's almost elegant. The nice thing about this as well, right? Like, yes, this is an increase in DPS, right? For someone who has a max hit one, the increase in DPS, I mean, it's not double, right? But when you do hit, you always do damage now, rather than only half the time. So it's a pretty significant boost. But for someone who has a max hit of like 30 or 40, like, it's gonna not make a difference at all.
Right. Whereas the initial proposal of bringing the max hit down by one for those people would have an impact.
I mean, it would only really start coming into effect at max hit 2, I think, because otherwise, you know, things get a little bit funny. But yeah, so honestly, I think it's an elegant solution that, I mean, it disproportionately affect really low level players, but I think that's fine. I think for them, it actually feels the worst. They need this fix the most because it becomes increasingly unlikely to run into this. So,
like, just look at the RS Wiki's DPS calculator and you'll see the problem with that at low to mid level.
Yeah. So I like it. I like it.
And
I think the one. Yes?
I was just going to say that in general, with this, in terms of analyzing these things, what it comes down to, at least on my perspective, is saying, how does this affect me? How does that make me feel? How does it make the community feel? I then reconcile those two things together. And if there's, you know, a difference in perception there, if one's being louder than the other one, then that's definitely something to look at. But if everybody seems like, oh, okay, these changes are good and they're in the right direction, then it's probably a good thing and we're probably headed off in the right direction. And that's what I felt with the min hit changes and most of the other things in the poll, minus the redistribution and gear paths. But sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, the autocast delay is another example here, right? Just moving it out. I think the one thing that I'm sort of like, is the Dragon Warhammer drop rate. They're reducing that from 1 in 5,000 to 1 in 3,000, or increasing that, I should say. What? You're laughing.
I know. That's purely an Iron Man-related thing, right?
Well, yes. That being said, you know, They are not the cheapest thing on the market right now, and you know, if they want to avoid this becoming too much of a big thing, What they could have done is they could have increased the drop rate on task. Just double the drop rate on task.
Yeah.
There's precedence for this.
Yeah.
It would basically give like almost the same bonus. It just means you can't continuously grind it out, so it's maybe not quite as good. But it would also avoid the fact that any bots or whatever goes there right now can't just bring double the number of Warhammers into the market. So that's the one thing I would probably change, but you know, that's not a showstopper.
No, it's not. It's not. And you know, overall, when you sum all these things up, you wind up, I think, in a good situation at the end of the day on this. So, mm-hmm. You happy we get to press the pause button on Wilderness Agility? I know you don't have ideas or plans to go there, but I know I do eventually.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's still somewhat punishing, 25 laps, but...
It's better than losing the streak completely.
It's better than losing the streak
completely. And it prevents it from being a safety button if they see another white dot appear on the mini-map in the area, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a compromise. It's a compromise.
And, you know, I really do wonder if this will encourage people to go out and do Wilderness Agility compared to, and, you know, looking at it after the Project Rebalance rooftop agility courses. Or is that just going to be too comfy and safe that people are just going to stick with rooftop?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Together with the other rebalance changes that all the other labs also give marks or grace, I think we'll see a little bit more diverse training methods.
Are you happy that you have another reason to go back to the moons this week with the new set of medium, hard, and one elite Perilous Moon combat achievements that have been added?
Yeah. I haven't had a chance yet. I was waiting for these, honestly. I like them.
Like the simplest one, open the reward chest after defeating all three moons.
Yeah, so that one I haven't gotten yet because you actually need to go back and do that. I did get the, what is it, like 10 kills or 5 kills or 1 kill, whatever. But yeah, no, I will need to go back. I don't think all of them are quite within reason for me. One of them is like killing all of them, taking no damage from any of the special attacks, which,
ooh,
if they indeed fix the ball, that one is solved, which means that the only problem is the tornadoes. Those I just ignore usually and run through. So that's doable.
I think the most interesting one there is defeat 30 moons of peril bosses without leaving the dungeon, because that's, you know, just playing into that area and the mechanics.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think it's really not that hard, right? Like,
no.
It's just all the
food is good,
there,
the potions are good. Yeah, no,
you just do it, but and hope your armor doesn't degrade in the meantime. But
yeah, well, you go and repair before you begin.
Exactly. I mean, I could do that right now, I think. Like, it's only 10 full kills, like 10 reward chests, so.
Yeah, that's good. Then there's ones for defeating all three moons in under 8 minutes and defeating all moons in one run under 6
that's
minutes.
That's not happening so quite yet for
ones.
Me.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. We're not ready to go do the Colosseum ones yet, are we?
No. Fight caves first, and then we'll see.
So, construction training also got easier this week, or is going to get easier once the plugin devs make the changes, because there is a new set of guidelines for the disallowed features list that is effectively going to make construction training easier, in that it's now possible for plugins to modify menu options for construction in the POH. Are you sticking with Mahogany Homes, or
you want? Yeah, it's much cheaper, and I would really like to get the house style from there as well. I just think it's pretty.
Yeah, that's fair. And the thing that floored me about this, after, you know, not reading this too late in the day, and actually comprehending the post, fun fact there, I read this and thought this entire section meant the opposite. But the thing that floored me was that they said, in relation to the construction changes, this is something we'd like to roll out in our own client at some point, and springs from a desire to make traditional construction training more approachable. Such changes won't improve XP rates, but they will save your wrists.
Yeah.
It's a good change overall.
It really is. Like, yeah. Also,
I also like the changes to the ordering, spellbook ordering.
I was just going to go there next, because I have the feeling both of us have been spending time with the lovely magic spell High Alchemy.
Yeah, moving that also would be nice. would love to... I don't know. Like, the spell list is one of these... it's an OCD nightmare, right? Like, I can sort of imagine seeing, like, all the spell, like combat spell nicely lined up and all that. But also, now there's no more reason to not just unlock all of the elemental spells at the same level.
Oh,
like
so
I proposed. Because people can just change the order back if they hate it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the whole other thing with Project Rebalance that... You know, we really didn't have the... We didn't... You should have made a Reddit post when that happened, with your newfound love of Reddit.
I don't love Reddit.
Sorry. I just had to say that. But yeah, spellbook movement, good, because of, you know, changes that'll make High Alchemy easier and other spells too, I would venture. And they said also there's another change... impacting any plugin which adds additional menu entries which can cause actions to be sent to the server. This now includes exceptions for the Max Cape and the Diary Cape. So, Jagex working together with players on third-party client features is you know, wonderful, and what we've come to expect with old school on this. But
I think this is the right approach, right? Like, in a sense... it's outsourcing a lot of the effort they need to put into the client to the community.
Right. And ask yourself for RuneScape outside of bots, what is the number two illicit form of activity in the RuneScape world? It's private servers. And people love private servers because they can do all the sorts of things like this with the client. So if you can make that less appealing by supporting some variant of that, you keep more people in your locus of control.
Yeah.
So.
And I think by setting up these rules, you find like a good balance. You know, from what I've seen, there's a really, like, people who make plugins just know about this, right? Like, they know very much what is and isn't allowed, and there seems to be a good understanding between the two sides. So, honestly, I think this is an example of how it is done. As opposed to RS3, which I think is an example of how it shouldn't be done, right?
Yeah, because I think it's
much more vague there. And,
it's a different philosophy.
Exactly.
That's not clear. The one thing I'd like a plugin to be able to do, and this is one of the first things I looked at when I came to old school, was I would like there to be a plugin that allows me to change the font in the chat box. I'm sorry, but the curly font in 2024 just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think I read something that it might be possible with the new client stuff when that arrives, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would actually expect that the readability of the new client is better. I haven't given it a try yet, but
yeah, fair enough. What have you been doing this week? Do you want to start, or should I start?
I can start. I've had sort of this week. Was cleaning up things week, right? Like, just getting rid of the lots of small little things. Like, I had clues sitting around the bank. I finally
tying up loose ends.
Tying up loose ends. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
That then involves a bag into the river at the end of the night.
I will choose not to answer that question. But yeah, I did my clues really... I mean, I got a wolf mask and then found out it's pretty worthless.
See, that's the thing when I was like, when you mentioned that, I thought, oh God, he's going to be loaded. And no need to worry about money because the thing has a 1 in 1100 drop rate. But oh no, it's worth 3K or 4K or however much it was.
I think I ended up selling it for like 13K, like it goes above GE price, but Anyway, I really didn't get anything good from my clues. I wish I could stack them up. I really do. To me, the fact that in
Leaks in RS3 quality of life update, please, for OS?
No, I don't know. I mean, I would even not mind if it's some kind of unlock, right? Where you can get like increasingly bigger bags of it. But like, it just... The fact that you need to interrupt what you're doing right now to finish a clue is just awful, right? Like, it just doesn't feel good. And I would just like to have a small buffer of them. Like, it doesn't even have to be 25. Make it be 5 for all I care, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
But give me a few. Give me a few. So I can at least finish my Slayer task and then do my clues.
Right. I was once told a story of somebody who had a Hellhound Slayer task, and no shit, that Hellhound Slayer task took them like 2.5 weeks to do, because the only thing at the time that Hellhounds dropped that was worthwhile was their hard clue scroll. So every time they'd get a clue scroll, oh, clue time, clue time.
Yeah. It just sucks, right? And it feels a little bit ancient, and I don't really know what you gain out of it, right? Like, you can stack up caskets.
Yeah.
So I maybe at a time it makes sense. I don't think it does anymore. I like that in leagues you could just stack them. It doesn't even have to be an infinite stack. I don't know. It's dumb. Anyway, rant over.
No,
I finished up my materials in the Giants Foundry. I had overstocked a little bit, so I decided to use it up, get another smithing level out of it, you know, why not? Might as well. And that's it. I'm getting really close to 75 ranged. I've been doing that. And then I don't think, I mean, I would like to get 80 prayer, but it's quite expensive and I don't need it. So I think I am legally out of reasons to procrastinate.
Well,
if I had cave.
One sec on the prayer thing. I think training prayer is something you're always going to use. And my argument to you would be that unless there's another buyable that's demanding your money, I think you should do it. Because as we talked about before, it of course... allows you to use your prayers for more. It unlocks extra prayers, like augury, like we were talking about.
Yeah, which I bought and unlocked. Yeah.
And it also reduces the number of prayer potions you're going to need, which is saving you money.
I know, but we're looking at 20 mil. I need to sink into this to get to a point where I'm like, this is actually makes sense right now. And that is not the funds I have really available.
Fair.
And like, I can tell you about my buyables list, right? I also want to buy 83 construction, which is going to be really helpful. I would like to go and start training my fishing level, for which I would like to have a dragon harpoon, also light bearer at that point, right? To maintain my skilling boosts. I still need a berserker ring. I still need vigor.
Okay, so when you put it in that perspective, I can see why you don't. That's fair. That's fair.
So I'm like, I really want it, and if I had the money available, I would be doing it. But I'm like, 70 prayer is already going to be more than enough to get through Fight Caves.
Yeah. Are we going to see a Fight Caves attempt this week?
Like I said, I think I'm legally out of reasons to procrastinate it behind besides getting 80 prayer.
Did you buy the blowpipe?
I will buy the blowpipe. I have the funds for it. I just need to buy it. I checked the life prices. It looks fine. And then I'm just going to splurge on good darts. Like, I want to not spend more time in it than I have to. So I'm just going to overgear and try.
Sounds good.
I did it during leagues. So, you know I can do it. It might take me a little bit longer this time around. Yeah. Though I will have a blowpipe rather than a rune crossbow with rot bolts. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It might not actually make that much of a difference.
Wait, you did fight caves and leagues with broad bolts.
Yeah.
Wow. I used diamond bolts.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, God. No, must have been painful.
Oh, yeah. It took me for bloody ever. But I had infinite health and infinite prayer, so...
Right. Okay.
But it took me over an hour.
Okay, story time. I gotta tell this story to the audience here. Obviously, this is an RS3 story, but when Zamorak Elite Dungeon 4 came out there, for, you know, 6 months, I had the world record kill time at Zamorak. It wasn't the best kill time, it was the slowest kill time. 27 minutes and 44 seconds is presently third slowest kill time on the Zamorak high scores. So I know that's why I started chuckling when you said it took you over an hour, because I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah. So I think it might actually go better this time. I do think I switched to ruby bolts for Jad, though. Or diamond bolts.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
I think I brought like a switch, but I think doing I didn't have enough bolts for the entire fight case.
Right.
So yeah, that's gonna be next. I've also been working on my Iron Man. I'm getting to the point where I might get members for it. I'm running out of things to do.
Oh, Lord. Oh dear.
Yeah. I got 20 magic. I love how fast the leveling goes. It's just. I use the XP bubbles at the top of the screen, like the circles, and the fact that, you know, burying a bone, you can see the thing move and killing, like, every hit, you see the mag. Oh, it's great. Oh, I just love it.
And that's why early mid-game RuneScape is so satisfying.
Oh, but yeah, I finished Demon Slayer. I won it, dealt with. I was so scared for it. I was so scared for it. And then I just booped him once with Silverlight, and that's it. I was like, okay. That's the thing with Hardcore Iron Man. Everything becomes so much more intense, right? Like, not scared to kill Count Drainer, but I was like, I have no idea what to expect. What if he just boops me and I lose my Hardcore status? Wasn't a problem. I used one piece of food, was overleveled and all of that, but...
But it's still in the back of your mind.
It's still in the back of my mind, and then, if I manage to get a quest cape on that, with, Hardcore status, that means finishing... I don't know if there's safe fights doing the quest. Maybe the Desert Treasure 2 and all that is safe.
Well, you learned that. You learned the safe spots that are and aren't available for that when we did that quest.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I like it, but yeah, I'm getting to the point, I have, a few quests left, but...
Free-to-play quests, he means.
Yeah, free-to-play quests, but... I'm getting to the point where I probably want to do members anyway, and I might as well get it as soon as possible, because it's just dumb trying to do all of these things.
Yeah, without members.
Inefficiently.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So I've been having a blast this week, honestly, with all of these different things. For sure.
Fair enough. I've been settling into some long grinds this week.
Oh, well,
again, like I typically like to do.
Yeah.
I got 65 crafting all the way down from 50, and that's why I have been happy to see
that.
It's
not a long grind.
No, that one's not. And I mean, they're starting to feel long, and that's the thing. And you know, you split it up because I'm alking the battle staves that I make, fire staves, presently on that. So that's good for magic. And, you know, I feel like that's fine. And I just wanted to get that one kind of out of the way, get that as close to 70 as possible, because I don't like crafting. I don't see the purpose of crafting aside from, you know, some mid-level things and whatnot. I still feel that way. about it.
Wait until you need to make your own leather armor as an Iron Man.
Right.
It's really useful then.
Right. And you know, that's why I feel like after leagues and whatnot, I probably won't do an Iron Man character. And you had, of course, the reverse experience on that. But
to be honest, crafting, I mean, I had to do some crafting on my free-to-play account, which was awful because you need to get all your own cowhide. I mean, looking back at leagues, right? Do you know how I got 99 crafting on my leagues account? Do you remember this?
No.
I used a way that is completely impractical in the main game and only really worked in leagues.
What was it?
Crystal singing.
Oh, right.
Because I had the Sage's Griefs. No, I had, what's it called again?
Banker's
Note? The relic that allows you to continuously pickpocket. I forgot the name.
Trickster,
yes. I had that. So I could continuously pickpocket the Pythinus elves, which allowed me to stack up on all the crystal shards and unattuned crystals.
Right. And you, like you said, not viable in main game because of Trickster enabling automatic pickpocketing,
exactly.
But also because of noting things. And
exactly.
Rate,
and basically, my wrists hated me for a week after this, by the way. But basically, I had two tools crystals that I kept turning. Or no, two weapon crystals, even. Because I got one from the quest, you can get one for free from the quest reward, and you can buy one for like a bunch of GP.
Mm-hmm.
You get one from the quest, so you can recover that, and then you can get the other one, because it's like a bow or a shield, right? You pick, you can get the other one for gold, so something like that. And I turned those into two bows, disassembled them, turned them into two bows, disassembled them, and that's how I max both my smithing and crafting.
Yeah, whereas I max my crafting with gems because I had Czar thieving, and I was able to just, you know, thief gems from
yes.
there. So
I didn't have the ice glove, so I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that's right. But I also did some mining this week. I went back to the Varlamor mining area, which I know is you're not necessarily too much of a fan of because, and see, I was in considering the same position, and you wanted to go the pay dirt approach for the prospector outfit and whatnot, which is fine, I think. But I wanted to use the new content, and based on what the wiki said, is that the lean back mining in Varlamor was better XP than pay dirt at my present level, so that's just why I went with that one. And hey, a little bit of token prayer, well, not token prayer XP, but a third of the mining XP. In prayer at the end of the day, is a happy thing that I get to walk away from with that. So I wound up with 60 mining at the end of the day, which of course was the goal for some quest requirements out there, but also of course to unlock the mining guild and the benefits that brings. And the fun part about this is that when I talk to people who play RS3, and I talk about, you know, doing mining this week and just in general, my present feelings on mining and smithing at old school. 6 months ago, I would have said that old school needed the mining and smithing rework from RS3, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm now in a position where I think that's a wonderful piece of content, but I don't necessarily think that old school needs it.
There you go.
Just because of all the different, you know, mining training methods that are out there. And, of course, as you mentioned, the wonderful Giants Foundry, amongst other things. So,
yeah. No, I think they found a less heavy-handed way to get similar aspects of the skills in there. And I think, you know, it's still a bit funky that the gear that you can wear and wield at level 40, you unlock at level 99. But
yeah, that's a little bit odd. And if there's going to be one thing about smithing in old school that I'd change, it would probably be that. Bring rune
well,
down.
Yeah, but like
fill it out.
We talked about this, right? Like, I think if you just reframe this in your mind as, you know, yeah, you're making armor that you can wear, but you shouldn't see this as armor you can wear. You should just see this as sort of abstract trade goods that have value.
bingo, because there's a lot of other utility in smithing as you level up that counts for the unlock. And
exactly.
And I think if I'm going to close the loop on all of this, you mentioned the fact that they are doing this with a less heavy-handed approach.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're doing that with mining and smithing, as they have done, and if we close the loop and bring it back to combat and magic, and the general project rebalance things, I think we get to a point where what you have in old school, in particular this week, is a way of achieving these similar sort of balance approaches without necessarily forcing them down the player's throats, without buy-in on them, which, in addition to rather, you know, just completely ripping out the innards of the combat system, as happened, you know, 12 years ago before the great bifurcation, you wind up in a situation here where, for the most part, granted, there's not as much diversity as you'd like in the gear progression, as we talked about earlier. You wind up with solutions in general that solve many of the problems that RuneScape of 2012 had and need to be fixed, you know, still here today in old school, but fixed in a way that is being fixed in the old school way, is how I would sum all that up if I'm closing the loop and tying in, you know, mining, smithing, and combat and all that together.
I think you need to be careful there that you don't want to go too conservative either. Like, you do need to take risks.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know there are conservative old school players out there in that regard too. And I mean, everybody has to be listened to at the end of the day, but at what point do you stop making progress, right? Because like you said, progress over perfection. Or on the other, or the flip side of that is that you maintain everything in such a locked state that you don't make progress. That's the other side of that coin. So, but folks, I believe that brings us to the end of the program this week. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed this one. As per usual, if you have any comments, do let us know either in the comments section or on Discord over at update.show/discord. Sirion, anything else before we depart for this week?
No, we're gonna have a few quieter weeks with the game jam coming up, I suppose. So
you say that, but past has told me to never believe that. In general, that RuneScape coverage can be quiet. We shall see, folks. We shall see. But until then, of course, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast listeners. We're on Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and of course YouTube as well. YouTube.com/@OSRSupdate. And with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.